God. Wow. Lord, we do thank you that you are good, and you are good all the time. And we thank you for your word today, for it is life unto us, and we receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we also want to mention this. This is so exciting. We had like 14 youth, couple of young adults, and of course some leaders that went to, it's called West Conference out in Antioch over the weekend. And wow, I haven't got to talk to Pastor Caleb, but I know it was awesome, right? Yes. And so you want to come on Wednesday night. We're going to have Pastor Caleb, of course, bring the word, but share also about how these young people's lives were changed. Glory to God. Exciting. Praise the Lord. Well, you can go ahead and be seated as we prepare to get into the word of God today. Praise God. Are y'all happy to be here? Amen. Well, I know I am for sure happy to be here. It's always a joy to be able to bring the Word of God. And Pastor just mentioned that we recently had Vision Sunday, and then gave us the confession that we're all saying and believing for. And then I know last week he kind of continued along the lines, really, that we need to have vision for our individual lives. I believe the title was, "You Are Not an Accident." Aren't you glad about that? There are no oopses in heaven. God intended for you to be here right now at this time, and he has destiny upon each and every one of our lives. And there is a plan, there's a purpose, not just for our individual lives, but for this church. And together we're going to see it fulfilled. The vision shall come to pass. Amen. And then he was even talking about on Wednesday night that every one of us, we have been apprehended for that call, that plan, and that purpose. And as he was sharing, some things began to just go off in my heart. You know, we're one because we're married, but we're also, a lot of times we get in the same flow spiritually. I know when he preaches and he ministers, he's not just feeding you guys, and he's not just up here as my husband. He becomes my pastor, and I receive so much when he brings forth the word of God. Do you? Are you thankful for that? And then I know a lot of times when I'm sharing on Wednesday nights, he'll get up and he'll say, "You know, I got this point, and I got this point, and I got this point." And I say, "Well, keep that for you to a later date, you know." No, I'm just kidding. Anyhow, no, that's just how it is, though. We feed one another because the Word feeds us. Amen. So as he was ministering Wednesday night, it was just going off in my heart that every one of us, we do have a unique race to run and to fulfill. I remember years ago, I heard an old minister say this: run your own race and stay in your own lane. You know what happens if a race is being run? And you can't tell by looking at me, but I do not have 1 ounce of athleticism. I can't even say it in my body. I'm not athletic at all. Man, I've never run a race, but I have watched people run races. And I know how important it is. If somebody's doing track, they have their designated lane, and they're supposed to stay in that designated lane. And we have seen, unfortunately, sometimes in a race that someone will kind of veer off into another person's lane. And what happens? They both get tripped up. We need to stay in our designated lane. Well, you know what happens if you're out driving on 880, and we all have that wonderful joy and privilege because we live here in the Bay Area to drive on freeways, and oftentimes there's a lot of traffic, and sometimes way off on the shoulder or even in the opposite direction, maybe there's an accident or something has occurred, and it's a tendency to do what is called rubbernecking. You know what that is? You're driving, but oh, what's going on over there? And you know what? If you just keep looking at, oh, what's going on over there, pretty soon, whoop, your car is going to veer over to what's going on over there. And it may not be a good outcome for sure. So all of us need to stay, keep our attention on what God's called us to do. We're an encouragement to one another. We help one another. We pray for one another, but we don't get in competition with one another, and we don't compare ourselves to somebody else's race. be grateful for what God has called us to do. And I think Pastor said this either Sunday or Wednesday. Rejoice in God's choice. Rejoice in God's choice, what He has given you to do. I'm excited about my race. How about you? Are you passionate about your life and your calling? And yes, we all are called. We may not all stand behind a pulpit and be in the fivefold ministry, but every one of us are ambassadors of Christ. Every one of us have the ministry of reconciliation, telling other people that Jesus loves them and Jesus is good. We all can touch people with the love and the mercy of God. Every one of us are called to do that. And I know your heart. I know my heart. This is what we all desire to hear. Whether we go by the way of rapture or by way of the grave to heaven and stand before our Lord Jesus Christ, what do we want to hear? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. None of us want to hear, well, what'd you do with what I called you to do? And nobody wants to hear, oops, undone. No, we want to hear, well done. Amen. So Pastor read this scripture, and we're going to start with it today as well. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 out of the New King James. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. I want to stop right there and say, hallelujah. I know my mom and my dad and other relatives are in that great cloud of witnesses. Do you have anybody up there? Woo! They're not floating around heaven on little clouds with little harps. No, they're in the grandstands of heaven. They're busy up there. And one of the things they're doing is they're looking over and they're going, go, go, go. They're cheering us on. They have a whole different perspective of the race that we are in. You know why? They see the big picture. And they may see, and they're probably seeing how close we are to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. How close we are to this whole thing being wrapped up. And so they're up there going, go, go, go. Woo! You're about to win. Hallelujah. You're about to finish up. Glory to God. I thought I'd just throw that in there. Then it goes on. It says, so let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So this verse has so much in it. It's exhorting us. First of all, don't quit. You're so close to your breakthrough. You're so close to your manifestation of what you're believing for. Don't quit now. Hallelujah. And then it tells us to lay aside the weights. Has anybody ever experienced some hindrances? Some things, some obstacles in our path, in our destiny. Things come up, but we're not to let those things weigh us down. Again, you know, I'm not a runner, but these are good illustrations nonetheless. I'm married to a real athlete. I'm telling you, this guy, wow. And it's one of the things that amazes me about Pastor Mark is the stories that he likes to tell of his wonderful feats as a young person through the years. Anyway, one time I said to him, and then one of our dear friends, Pastor Hagen, I think you guys should get t-shirts that say this on the front. The older I get, and then on the back, the better I was. Anyhow. So anyhow, I use a lot of illustrations about athletes because I'm married to one. But a runner on the day of the race, I know this for sure. They don't put on a heavy coat. They don't go in their closet and get work boots and this big old furry hat and all of this stuff. No, they want to be as light as possible. Light and easy will help them run faster and finish sooner. Amen? Well, that's how our spiritual race is supposed to be run. Light and easy, not heavy and queasy, not all burdened down with the cares of this world, not full of anxiety and fear, not putting on this big old cloak of depression and I'm going to try to run under this. No, all these things will slow us down. And in some cases, they have literally taken people out early. Declare this with me. I'm traveling light and easy. I'm living free from fear. I'm living and I'm running full of faith and full of joy. I'm keeping my eye on the prize. So let's continue reading here in verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I read this passage the other day, the verse 2 out of the Passion, and it so spoke to me. We look away from all the natural realm and we focus our attention and our expectation unto Jesus, who birthed faith within us, who leads us forward into faith's perfection. Now, I love this part. So you got your ears on. You can see it on the screen. Listen real good. Because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his. Woo-hoo-hoo, that makes me happy. Because he knew. He saw you. He saw me. He knew we would be his. Hallelujah. Because of that, he endured the agony of the cross and he conquered its humiliation. Now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. So this message was inspired by verse 2 that we just read. The phrase, for the joy that was set before him. And because his heart was focused on the joy, hallelujah, of knowing we would be his. I've heard people say this. It was love that held Jesus to the cross. And that's totally true. Someone, we saw this little illustration in Sunday school. They would say, how much does Jesus love you? And then they'd go, this much. He stretched out his arms as far as he could and allowed himself to be nailed to the cross. That's how much he loves us. It was love that held him to the cross, but it was also joy. For the joy set before him, that joy is you. That joy is me. He looked down through the corridors of time and he saw the millions, if not billions, of people that would receive his gift of salvation. And seeing that gave him the joy and the strength to endure what he had to endure on the cross. Joy will carry you through to the finish line. How does this happen? Well, we see how Jesus did it. How does it happen for us? We look unto Jesus. We look away from the natural and the realm of the distractions. And we focus our attention on him and what he has called us to do. Jesus' heart was focused on his mission. He didn't allow his vision to get distorted. Has anybody ever had blurred vision? In the natural, couldn't see straight. I was thinking about this yesterday because I like to do illustrations. I believe they help us capture the essence of the message. So yesterday I was like, Lord, give me an illustration about that. And immediately it came up in my heart. It's probably been 15 years ago, 2009. I see my Lila. Do you remember our Peru experience? And then her sister Liz is probably serving somewhere. But I was asked to speak at a women's conference in Iquitos, Peru. Now, that is not the big city, not Lima, Peru. Iquitos is at the head of the Amazon River. Anybody know where Iquitos is? Ever been there? Anyway, probably not. It was an experience. Well, anyhow, it was a glorious time. Hundreds of women were ministered to. I think there's probably like 500 women at that conference, if I remember right, Lila. And they came down the Amazon River. Some of them traveled for days to get there. But, and it was just, it was an honor to be able to be there and minister to them. But I will have to say this. The trip was not without obstacles and hindrances. Thank God, my daughter-in-law, Esther, she went. She was a big help to me. But also, I got to give another shout-out. Lila, wave your hand back there. This is Lila Lanes and then her sister, Liz Hugo. They went because they are my Spanish-speaking sisters. And I just have to say, thank God for them. I believe they saved my life. But anyhow, we had all sorts of challenges. Right away in my luggage, I don't remember if it wasn't there or they wouldn't release it from customs. So they're having to talk back and forth in Spanish. And then the first night we went, we're invited to this dinner in our honor. It was very nice. But they had this drink that was made from barrels of water, which I found out later were not very clean. So my daughter-in-law was like, Mom, don't drink the Kool-Aid. I'm like, woman of faith and power. I'll drink it. I drank the Kool-Aid, and before we got back to the hotel, let's just say my faith was tested. And so I was like, okay. So again, my sisters came to the rescue. Lila and Liz are going over to the little pharmacy there trying to help a sister out, get me some meds, and praise God for it. Well, then I go to bed, and the next morning I was supposed to preach, which I didn't. So then next night I go to bed, and I'm going to preach the next morning. And so at the time, 15 years ago, I used to wear contacts. As you can see, I do not wear contacts anymore. So I just wear cute glasses. So anyhow, get ready to go to bed. And what do? You got to take your contacts out, your little soft contacts out. So I take them out, put them in the little case, go to bed. Well, the next morning, I get up to put my contacts in. And one case didn't have a contact in it. So I figured, oh, man, I must have dropped it on the floor or whatever. I'll just put a new one in. So I put a new one in. And we're leaving the hotel. And I said to Esther, something doesn't seem right. My eyes seem kind of funny, you know. I thought, well, maybe it's just jet lag or whatever. Well, we get to the meeting. I'm preaching that morning. We're standing down as they're doing worship. I open up my Bible and I said to Esther, I can't see the Bible. My vision is so blurry. And I had notes. I couldn't read my notes. But, you know, I'm like, I was preaching on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank God. So I just spoke out of my heart, gave an altar call. Tons of ladies came, got filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. That was wonderful. Well, then in a process of time, we get back to the hotel. I go to take my contacts out. And the first one's good. I take it out. The second one, I'm like, this feels weird. So I did this with my fingers. It was two contacts. The one that I thought I had taken out the night before, I had not taken out. And it just slipped down over my eye. And I was wearing two contacts in one eye. Thus, blurred and fuzzy vision. But you know what? Even in the midst of that situation, praise God, many responded to the altar call, glory to God, and God was still good. And you know what? We didn't lose our joy. Do you remember, Lila? So many funny things happened. We were just laughing constantly, mostly at me, but nonetheless, we did not lose our joy. And God still ministered, even in the midst of mistakes and obstacles. Hallelujah. Joy will carry you through from joy to joy and strength to strength. Joy is a powerful spiritual force. It's not based on our emotions. Where does this joy come from? Well, y'all are studious. You know, it comes from Jesus. from His kingdom. Romans 14:17 tells us what's in this wonderful kingdom that we belong to. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. How many of you in here have been translated out of Satan's kingdom and you're in the kingdom of God? Woo! Hallelujah! What are some of the earmarks of this kingdom? Well, we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We've been given the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And we have joy unspeakable and full of glory. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Hallelujah. Woo! Regardless of what's going on around us, joy is a spiritual force. And I heard someone say this, and I don't remember who, so just say that it's my quote. Joy is not based on your condition, but on your position. You might want to write that down. Joy is not based on your condition, but on your position. Where are you positioned? Well, I'll tell you where you're positioned. You're seated together with Him in heavenly places. We are seated far above all principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world. Hallelujah. And the devil is under our feet. Whatever he brings at us, Jesus has already conquered. What we're called to do is enforce Satan's defeat. Hallelujah. And when we operate in the joy of the Lord, we realize this. Joy and happiness are different. Happiness, I like this. Happiness comes from the root word hap, H-A-P, which also is the same word that we get happenstance from. It literally means this: to be controlled by circumstances or what happens to you. Your happiness depends on what is happening to you or around you. But joy will hold you steady because God's joy is there no matter what happens. We can draw from this well of salvation. This well, when we get born again, the Bible says we have the well of living water on the inside of us. Now, if you're out somewhere, maybe, you know, I don't know, out in the wilderness or whatever, and you're real thirsty and you come up on a well and you look down in there and it's like, oh, wow, that looks like good, cold, refreshing water. And you just stand there and stare at the well. But you got to figure out how to get that water that's down there in that well up into your mouth and before you'll be refreshed. Well, we have the well of salvation. We have all that Jesus provided for us right here on the inside of us. But like everything in the kingdom of God, it's up to us to draw on that peace. Draw on that love. Draw on the characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ. Draw on that joy that's been put on the inside of you. Bible talks about it over in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. Therefore, say it with me, joy will you draw water from the wells of salvation. And then I want to read verse 3 and 4 out of the message. Joyfully will you pull up buckets of water from the wells of salvation. And as you do it, you'll say, give thanks to God call out his name, ask him anything, shout to the nations. We sang about that. Tell them what he's done. Spread the news of his great reputation. I love that. You know, there is lots of sadness in the world, and many people are drinking from polluted wells. Many people are feasting on discouraging and fear-filled media and news. And that's polluted stuff, folks. That's not going to help us whatsoever. It will just cause us to get filled with fear and anxiety. What and where we drink from will affect our peace and our joy. As believers, how many believers are in the house? As believers, I want to exhort you, drink often and drink freely. Joyfully pull up buckets of water from the wells of salvation. How do we pull up what's on the inside of us? Well, we use our mouth. We use our voice. We speak the word of God. We pray in the Holy Ghost, and we cause what's in here to bubble up on the inside. Now, I've been told this, and I've never had this experience, but I've been told that some people, when they're drunk on alcohol, they're very generous. They want to buy all of their buddies a drink. Well, when we're joyful and we draw from the wells of salvation, we have something to share with others. I like how this verse said, shout to the nations. Tell them. Woo! Tell them what? God is good. Spread the gospel news. It is not time for us as a body of Christ to be silent about how good God is. It's not time for us to try to hide who we are as believers. No, let your light shine. This little light of mine, another Sunday school song, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan? No, blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. You know, it is not a good thing if people at your job, and you've been there for 15 years, find out you're a Christian and say, I had no idea. No, that's not really a good testimony. We need to be so full of Jesus. Woo! When everybody else comes in on Monday morning all bummed out because they've just been watching bad news all weekend, we should come in, hallelujah, with a spring in our step, a smile on our face. Woo! To the degree that people will say, what have you been doing all weekend? And were you out partying or something? Oh, yeah, I was partying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! Woo! And I'm drunk on God's new wine. It's so fine. It's so fine. God's new wine. Hallelujah. It's not time to be silent. It's not time to be empty. It's not time to let discouragement overtake us and to lose hope. There is so much hopelessness around us. People don't see, they can't even see a future. They think we're all going to get nuked or something. No way, Jose. We are going to be here as long as Jesus needs us to be here. And we're not going to be running off and hiding in a cave and eating tribulation food. No way. Woo! We're the glorious church. Glorious church. Glorious church. We're going to be filled with His glory, shining brighter and brighter and brighter. We are the light of the world. And our best days as a church are not behind us. Our best days as a body of Christ are right here, right now. Glory to glory. We are going. Hallelujah. We're not going to lose hope. We're not going to lose sight of the prize. Hope thou in God. Having hope and being joyful are closely connected. Romans 15:13 out of the NLT will show us this. I pray that God, what is God? The source of hope will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope is not a bad thing. We have to have hope or we won't be able to have anything to hook our faith on. God is the source of hope. Hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is the joyful anticipation of good. That's the biblical definition of hope. The joyful anticipation of good. I know that there are precious members of our congregation that have faced difficult situations. Some have faced, you know, cancer and other diseases, and you have to go through the process, which is not ever fun. But I also know that many people have come through that process. And it wasn't just their faith, it was their hope, because they had this joyful anticipation of good. Joyful anticipation that of God. God would see them through. Hallelujah. And I saw many of them, even while they were going through the process and the treatment, they did refuse to be discouraged, and they went ahead and made the choice to rejoice ahead of time. I heard a man of God, Bill Johnson, say this recently. He said, hope gives us the permission to experience the joy of a breakthrough before the manifestation comes. I love that. You should write that down. Hope gives us the permission to experience the joy of a breakthrough before the manifestation comes. Hallelujah. We don't have to wait until we see it in our hands to get happy. Glory to God. One definition of joy is this: the inner passion excited by the expectation of good. The inner passion. Again, it's not having anything to do with what you're going through or what's happening out here, but it's what you know in here. That inner, woo, passion that's excited by the expectation of good. Our joy is affected by how much we expect good, or I'll say God, good things or God things to happen to us. Amen? Well, we've already established that joy is present at the new birth. But like so many attributes of Christianity, we have the responsibility to keep them stirred up. We all joyced, if that were a word, when we got born again. We got the initial infilling of joy. But the Bible would not use the term rejoice if it wasn't a conscious decision that we have to make on a continual basis to tap in to joy. The Apostle Paul, I love the epistles that he wrote. He tapped in to the secret power of joy. Even in the book of Philippians, which is only four short chapters, the word joy or rejoice is used 16 times. And he did not write the book of Philippians from a wonderful beach resort saying, I'm out here catching some rays and boy, I am happy and joyful today. No, he wrote it in a prison. But yet he said, I know what staying full of joy will do for you. Yes. It will carry you through. That's why he said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, and I like it out of the Amplified, short little verse, but I like it to be amplified. Rejoice in the Lord always. And always delight gladden yourselves in Him. Again, I say, rejoice. In our English language, when you put re in front of a word, you know what it does? It changes the meaning to mean do again. Repeat. That means do again. I'm not going to ask if anybody in here had to repeat a class in school. None of my business. You got the mind of Christ right now, wisdom of God. But repeat means you got to do it over. Or retake. You know, maybe you've taken a family picture, or nowadays you can see it immediately on your iPhone and you're like, I don't like that one. Let's retake it. Do it again. What about repent? A lot of us are experts at repenting, right? Do it again. It's not a one-time, one and done, right? We need to repent when we fall short and we miss it. Amen? How about this? Refill your car with gas. Or if you're one of those that drives an electric car, you even have to recharge the car. It doesn't last forever. So when we say rejoice, it means do it again. And that's what the Apostle Paul was stressing. One time is not enough. So I may say, well, you know, I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and man, I had such joy 30 years ago. Well, how about 30 minutes ago? We need to rejoice again. And then in Scripture, it says, gladden yourself. Gladden yourself. The Bible also talks about, is anyone merry? Let him sing. I do not have a singing voice, but if I want to rejoice or I want to be merry and praise the Lord, I can't call up Pastor Kimberly and say, you know, I'm really merry today. Would you sing for me? She probably would. She might sing on the phone for me and I'd get even happier. But I have to rejoice for myself. People can rejoice with us, but not for us. We have to stir up that joy ourselves. Some of you may have grown up in the country like I did, and there was an old saying, if you got all bummed out and sad, parents would say, you can get happy in the same britches you got sad in. And that's a good saying. It's our choice. You don't have to even go change clothes. Just go ahead, get happy in those same pants that you're pouting in. You can raise your hand and make a choice to rejoice. Hallelujah. Now, we've already said this, but I want to give you a couple of quick ways to stay full of joy, which are so apparent, but I want to reiterate it. We got to stay full of the Word of God. The prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found, and I did eat them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Reading the word, meditating on the word, speaking the word, hearing the word today. Some of you, your countenance has already changed because the word brings joy and refreshing. It's the best happy meal you'll ever eat. Feasting on the Word of God. Amen. And then another way, just these are just a couple, there's many, but another way to keep our joy level stirred up is by praying in the Holy Ghost. Acts 13:52, again in the Amplified, it says this, and the disciples were continually filled throughout their souls with joy and the Holy Spirit. And the reason I like this in the Amplified is because it says throughout their souls. Our souls are our mind, our will, and our emotion. Praying in the Holy Ghost stirs up the joy that's down here on the inside. And it bubble, 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 it bubbles up and it affects your emotions. It affects your soul. So if you're having trouble in your mind and your emotions and depressions trying to attach itself to you, pray in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost will cause that joy level to be stirred up. Amen. I can't emphasize enough how important it is to be in the Word of God and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Folks, we're living at a crucial time in history, and we need everything that Jesus has made available to us. This may be new to some of you, and we're going to be teaching more on being filled with the Holy Spirit leading up to Pentecost Sunday on May 19th. But I want to encourage you, if you've not yet received this precious gift, to get into the Word of God. Start reading the book of Acts and see what power was made available on, in, and through the church when they received the precious Holy Spirit. Amen. We know that joy gives us strength. Nehemiah 8:10, we'll just quote the last part of that. Y'all know it probably. Says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. If we become weak, we can't receive the end of our faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, and we're fixing to close here. Not this minute. In Oklahoma, fixing means a few more minutes. Anyhow. But I do want to read this to you. How important it is to receive the end of our faith. Does anybody in here believe in God for something? Well, this will help us. 1 Peter 1, verse 8 and 9 in the Amplified. Without seeing Him, you love Him. Though you do not even now see Him, you believe in Him and exalt and thrill with inexpressible and glorious triumphant heavenly joy. At the same time, you receive the result, the outcome, the consummation of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Probably not many, most likely not any in here have physically seen Jesus. If you have, don't tell me because I don't want to be jealous. I never have. But anyhow, but we believe, we know He is the Son of God. We know, we believe He is our Lord. He is our Redeemer. We didn't have to see Him standing in front of us to receive the precious gift of salvation. And what this scripture is saying to me is we don't have to see the manifestation of the things that we are believing for before we rejoice. We can go ahead and have that wonderful, wonderful joy. How did it say it? That joy, that heavenly triumphant joy before the manifestation. Again, this is something that Mark Hankin said. He said, the bridge, joy is the bridge between believing and receiving. You're over here, you've prayed, you believe that you receive. The manifestation is still over here. What's going to get you from believing that you receive over here to the manifestation? Joy is the bridge. Because joy will keep you strong. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And there is always a time in between when we pray and when we see the manifestation. And it's a tactic of the enemy to get us weary, to get our joy level depleted. And so we're not standing strong anymore. We get all weak and like, nothing's ever going to change. It's not ever going to come to pass. No. Keep your joy level strong. Joy will carry you through to the manifestation that you desire. One last scripture, then we're going to do something. Psalms 84, verse 16 and 18. I'm going to read this because I like it so much. It's in the Passion. We can do nothing but leap for joy all day long, for we know who You are and what You do, and You've exalted us on high. Woo! The next verse. The glory of Your splendor is our strength, and Your marvelous favor makes us even stronger, lifting us even higher. You are our King, the holiest one of all. Your wrap around presence is our protection. Woo! Folks, we've got the favor of the Lord surrounding us. We've got His presence wrapped all around us. And doesn't the Bible say in Psalm 16:11, in His presence is what? Fullness of joy. So I submit to you, we are going to run our race. We are going to be like the Apostle Paul. We're going to finish our course with joy. Our course is not going to finish us off early. No, we're staying till we are done. And we are going to see everything fulfilled that we are believing God for. And the joy of the Lord is going to help us hold steady and run in the strength and the power of the Holy Ghost. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, we want to thank you so much for your word today. We believe that it has brought encouragement into the hearts of men and women today. And Father, right now, I just want to lift up each and every person under the sound of my voice. I want to ask y'all to keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed for just a moment. Those of you that are watching online, you be part of this as well. We all know that the source, the beginning of this joy that we talked about is Jesus. And perhaps you're here today or listening or watch later, and you have not yet asked Jesus into your heart. You cannot and will not experience what we've been talking about today until Jesus is your Lord and is your Savior. So if there's anyone in here today that needs to receive Jesus into their life, wants to, I'm telling you, you want to and you need to. You can raise your hand, anyone else watching online, but I feel just to do a corporate prayer just in case. So everyone here, repeat this after me. Father God, we come to you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for your supreme sacrifice. We thank you that you died on the cross for us. But you didn't stay dead. You were raised up for us. And you have provided the way for us to have right standing with our Father God. Today I open my heart wide and I receive the free gift of salvation. I declare it with my mouth because I believe in my heart. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord. I'm born again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to ask everybody to stand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Did you get anything out of the Word of God today? You know, many times as I'm preparing to minister, the Lord will show me things ahead of time. And I believe that He was showing me this yesterday, that there are people in here that, I mean, it's a serious deal where your joy level has been completely depleted. And the Lord wants to restore joy into your life. Now, if you're watching online, this can apply to you as well. You can reach out with the hand of faith and you can receive this anointing. The psalmist David, he said this. He said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. We are living in a time where there's this pressure here and pressure there, and there's what we could call joy robbers. If they're sitting next to you, don't look at them. I'm not talking about people, even though that can happen. People can be joy robbers, but circumstances can be joy robbers. Things happening at your job can be joy robbers. And we talked about it, that we, you know, it's our responsibility to rejoice. But there is also something called the anointing. Is anyone thankful for the anointing? And the Bible says that the anointing will destroy the yoke. And I believe today that as a point of contact, the anointing will help you to get back on track and will help you to begin to stir up that joy that we know is in there if you're born again. But we can help you stir it up so that it begins to bubble up. So as Pastor Tom and the group sing a song, I just want to invite you. If you want to come to the front, we don't have to make a big deal of it. But we will lay hands on you and we'll just come into agreement with you that perhaps that circumstance that has just been weighing on your life, that that will change and that your joy will be rekindled and be refreshed. Amen. Got any takers in the house tonight? If you want to come down, the ushers will help direct you. Praise the Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.